jump into the Word of God and see what He has for us. We're gonna press into being willing this morning, being willing to fulfill the things that God has called us to do. But let's start with some prayer. Father God, we are yielded vessels to You this morning. We open ourselves up in the name of Jesus. We yield ourselves to You and Your plan, Your best plan, Your will for our life, Lord, that we can succumb to You in every area, Lord, for our relationships, our finances, our love, our service, everything that we have, Lord, that we yield it to You in the name of Jesus. We yield it to You so that You can fulfill Your best for this earth that we live on, Lord, that while we're here, we're going to make a difference. While we're here, we will fulfill those things that You decide, that You choose, that You want to do in our community and beyond, Lord, that our personal lives will grow today, that we will yield ourselves, our family will be changed today, and that, Lord, we'll take it then from this place into the places where we go throughout the week and minister unto them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're thanking You. We praise You for it. Open our hearts. Keep us tender to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about being willing. Okay, what does it mean to be willing? Okay, to open ourselves up, to be willing, right? To be willing to do what God wants us to do. God is looking for the willing. Okay, God is looking for the willing. If you don't get anything else, just remember that part and then apply it. Okay, apply it, right? God is looking for the willing. Okay, somebody that says, "That's me, Lord. Yes, I'll do that." Remember Isaiah? You know, God touched his mouth. And he was willing. Okay, he didn't see himself as worthy at first, but God said, "I will make you worthy." And guess what? Jesus has made you worthy. Okay, so all we got to do is say, "That's me, Lord. I'm willing. I'm willing. I want to go along with you." You know, there's a passage we're going to read here in Exodus 25 to start with, but in the formation of the tabernacle, if you look up tabernacle and kind of get a quick definition of it, it'll tell you that it was a place that was specifically designed for the meeting of God with His people. Okay, it was a place where God and His people came together. You know, God has given them instructions how to go about this, and He talks to Moses and He gives him some instructions. And part of that is recorded like this. It starts Exodus 25, the first couple verses of that chapter. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Okay, you see that word willingly in there? God was seeking those that would willingly give an offering unto Him. Again, when that was an instruction of God telling Moses what to tell the people, so then in Exodus 35, verse 4, we see where He says this. Exodus 35, verse 4 and 5. It says, "And Moses spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." And he goes on and gives a big list of things they could bring. Do you hear that key language in what the Lord said to do? He said, "Take you an offering of the people, whosoever is of a willing heart." Take an offering of those with a willing heart. Do you know why God said to ask of those with a willing heart? Because God ain't going to force you to give to Him. Okay, God ain't going to force you. How's that? Good English? You like that? Any English teachers in here? We got some homeschool moms who are going, "Oh, my kids are hearing that." No. God ain't going to force you to serve Him. Okay? God doesn't make anyone give their life to Him. God doesn't make anyone worship Him. Okay, God doesn't make me worship Him. I love to worship God every day. I do. I spend time in worship and just praising God. God does not make me do that. I can listen to heavy metal, rock and roll, acid, AC/DC music if I want, right? God doesn't make me worship Him. I choose to do that. I have a willing heart. I want to worship God. Like I said, that was one of the most powerful things from that conference was worship over and over again with thousands of other people. lifting their hands, some people falling on their face before God, crying on their knees, just saying, God, you know, as we're worshiping you. It was powerful. But God didn't make any of those people do that. He will never make you lift your hand or get on your knees or to worship him in any way. And God's not going to force you or make you serve him either. Okay, God doesn't make you serve. He doesn't make you give. He doesn't make you do any of that stuff. But he will fill the hungry. Okay, he will satisfy the one that is thirsty. He will flow through those that are willing to let God flow through them. For someone to say, God, I need more of you so that I can, it can flow right, you can flow right through me. God hears that, answers that, will give that. But if somebody says, God, I don't really need you. Use somebody else. Not really in on it. Don't want that. God's not going to force you to do it. Whether it be in your offerings, okay, or in your service, God is seeking those that are eager, that are desirous, and that are willing to serve him. You know, you don't have to count yourself out. Some people like to do this where they've got things that have happened in their life and they count themselves out that, well, I'm not really worthy. Like Isaiah tried that one. God said, no, that doesn't jive with me. It's not up to you to make yourself worthy. It's up to me. And I did that. Okay. So you don't want to count yourself out of service in the kingdom of God just because of something that happened in your life. How many have gone through stuff in life? Anybody? I've been through some stuff, right? Some stuff I don't even want to tell my kids about, right? Before I got saved and all that, it's just ugly stuff. But that stuff does not count me out or count you out of service in the kingdom of God. You know, maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe you've been in jail. Maybe you're shy. Maybe you don't have a lot of money. You think, oh, I'd like to serve more, but I just don't have a lot. Don't really have much time. Maybe you just think you're too busy. Whatever it is, those things do not disqualify you. In fact, they make you more qualified to help somebody else who's going through that same thing. That's why I mentioned that church had a divorcee group. I thought, I've not heard of that, but think about it. They had somebody from the program that stood up and shared, and they had workshops, they had panel discussions. You know, it was intense, a very intense 2.5 days. And one of those families, the gal that ran the program stood up and talked about the divorcee group and some of the things going on. She said, I've been through some stuff. Other people are going through some stuff. It's hard. But I know how to get through it. God got me through it. Now I'm going to help other people get through it. You know, I told you I had a dream a long time ago about climbing a mountain, climbing a volcano, and there was all this danger, and I got to the top, and God said, go down and get some more people. So I went back down the mountain, grabbed some people, and said, I know the way. Follow me. I had another one of those dreams after I got back from this conference. Only this one was, it was right out in front of our house, and I was leading somebody through danger. There was wolves that were trying to attack and growling and all that stuff. And I woke myself up and I woke my wife up yelling, go away. I woke myself up with it. You never do that? Speak in your dream and I woke myself up. Okay. But I was leading somebody through the danger because I knew where to go. I knew how to get out. I knew where we were supposed to go. And that's what I felt that dream. Come with me. I know the way. And I'm leading somebody by the hand to go through the danger. I'm beginning to see that it's not just me that is for. That's for us. Everybody's got a testimony. We've all been through some stuff. God wants to use that in your life so that you can help lead others to navigate through some of those things. Some of you, you know, I mentioned homeschool. We got several in the room. You know how to make it through that. That's not easy. Some of you are like, well, yeah, the kids are small. It's pretty easy. But trust me, it gets harder. It gets more fun, right? There's lots of things you can do. Well, some of you moms might be able to help somebody else navigate through that. Yeah, little kids can be hard too. I'm not dismissing that. Not mine, because mine were angels. That's why. There's lots of things that you've been through that you can help others to get through. And I think God is going to show you some of that. Hopefully you'll get more of a nudge this morning. God will put you in the right place at the right time to help other people if you'll let Him. If you're willing to let Him do that. Say, God, I'm available. I am willing to do these things. If you'll say that to God, I believe He will put you in the right place at the right time. You know, if you think about it, if God is able to use a murderer like Moses, okay, or to use an adulterer like David, okay, or to use a religious zealot like Paul, that guy was pretty well trained up, pretty religious, and whew, Christians are bad, right? And if God can change him, begin to use him to lead others to Jesus, then God can use you and me to do something. We're taught a God that created the sun and the trees, God, you know, the seas and the bees, right? And he's using the bees as well. God created us for purpose. For us. Our God can literally do anything except go against his own word, right? You can't lie. The Bible tells us God is not a man that he should lie. He's not going to lie. He's not going to go against his own word or go contradiction. God formed you in your mom's womb. He created you in his image. Okay, and now he has saved you and empowered you now through the Holy Spirit to go and to fulfill his divine will and plan on the earth. And then in the end result, we get to end up in heaven for an eternity with our Savior. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all three of these guys quoted Jesus as saying that with men, certain things were impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Mark 10:27, give you an example. Said, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You know, again, in the way Luke put it, Luke 18:27. This is Jesus speaking. He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You ever come up against something that seems impossible? Something that maybe it physically is impossible, and yet God can still do it. It's not impossible to God. You ever hear those stories, testimonies, somebody that comes upon a crash, right? And they see this car and it's laying on top of this, you know, person, and they're going to die, and the person walks up to that car and picks it up and sets it off to the side. Physically impossible for a human being to do that, but with God, all things are now possible. Okay, that's the power of God, that with man, it may be impossible. Maybe your life is, you know, you've got some things that kind of put you down this road, and maybe things don't look like God's going to be able to use you in life in any way, shape, or form. That may look like it's impossible, but it is not impossible to God. Okay, for Him to begin working in your life and pointing you in a different direction is completely possible. You've just got to learn to say yes to God. Okay, and then He can do the impossible through you. That person could walk up to that car and say, "Phew, wish I could do something." You know, stand there and watch the person die. Whatever it is. But if we say yes to God, if we believe, we say, God, I need you. Okay? Anybody ever use that phrase? I use it all the time. God, I need you. God, I need you. Got too many things on a plate. I got to be somewhere. There's no way I'm going to get it done. God, I need you. Right? Or there's something that is physically too hard to do. And I'm, you know, not as strong as I used to be. I don't know if you guys knew I used to bodybuild. Tried picturing that. Been a while. But there's things that I have to ask God. God, I need you. I need you to help me with this. I can't do it on my own. And God comes through every time. We got to learn to say yes to God. You know, that's one of the things that, as the Apostle Paul was sharing Christ with the Christians in Corinth, he reminded them that Jesus accomplished all the things that they did, not by being a naysayer, not by negating what God was wanting to do, not by resisting the ways of God, but he did all the things that he do by saying yes to God. He kind of sums it up and he said, in him all the promises are yes and amen. Okay, talking about Jesus, he said that's the way he lived. In him all the promises were yes and amen. Okay, we don't want to be negative. We don't want to be a naysayer, thinking things can't happen when we know we serve a God that maybe with us it is impossible, but it's not impossible with God. We've got to learn to say yes to God and then ending our statement of yes to God with the word amen. Okay? Yes and amen. Okay, what does amen mean? Does anybody know? So be it. It's like an exclamation point. So be it. We're going to seal this deal. You know, your response to God when he's tugging at your heart, you begin to see a need, something that you want to be able to meet, your response should be yes and amen. So be it. Count me in. That's me. Say yes to God. You know, God uses his most precious creation, which is what? You and me, right? God uses his most precious creation to carry out, to complete his will upon the earth. Remember the prayer when the guys asked Jesus, teach us how to pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want to see happen, is God's will being done on earth. And God uses you and I to do those things. You know, if you think about it, Jesus didn't just show up one day and said, hey, here I am, I made myself out of some dirt. No, he came through a willing servant. God brought himself to earth through a young lady named Mary, right? I would imagine there might have been others in the running for that. There's lots of virgins on the earth, right? Why did he pick Mary? I mean, there's a lot of things that went into it, I know, but she was a willing servant. Listen to how this went down. It's in Luke chapter 1, if you want to follow along, starting verse 30. Listen to this scene that happens here with Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, it starts out, it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Okay, pointed out the impossible, right? Wait a minute, I'm going to be with child, but I haven't been with a man, right? Pointed out the impossible, said, God, wait a minute. Okay, talking to the angel, saying, wait, how can this be, saying I know not a man? Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Say, there's a testimony, right? Another impossible situation. He points out, the angel says, wait, even your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months along here, even though she was barren. Okay, points out, take note of that. In verse 37, it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. God would do the impossible part. All Mary had to do was be willing and to get in agreement with God. All she had to do was say, yes, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I'm in. And God was able to do the rest. You know, if God is asking you to serve him, lay something in your heart. Okay, some way to reach the lost or some way to serve the body of Christ, he will supply what it takes to accomplish that. I believe that. That if God gives you a dream, he gives you a vision, he gives you something for your life, that this is what I believe I'm supposed to do, even though you don't know how. Okay, there are some impossible things rolling around inside of me that I have no idea how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. I don't have to have it all figured out because I know a God that can do the impossible. It's not possible for me to do it alone, but it's possible for God to bring those people in to the kingdom that will help to do some of those things. Now I want you to listen to a passage and see if you can, it's in Exodus chapter 4 if you want to turn to that. But I want you to listen to this passage. It's quite lengthy. I'm going to read quite a bit here. 17 verses, I think. But I want you to pay attention to how things work in the kingdom of God. How God works through a willing servant and then provides everything that that willing servant will need to do what needs to be done. It's in Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It's a conversation between Moses and God here. Verse 1 says, and Moses answered, and he said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and he caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared unto thee. And verse 6, the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, the hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. In verse 8, and it came to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. In verse 11, the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And verse 15, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he said, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Okay, now listen to this. Think about this scene that just happens here. This is God with one of the most used people in history of the planet Earth. And he's having a conversation with him. And Moses is trying to wrap his brain around it because there's some impossible things involved. But God is saying he is going to take care of that. When Moses questioned God as to how he would accomplish his will and plan, God says to Moses, "What is that in thine hand? What do you already have?" You know, Moses didn't need to go and find something extra. He didn't need to, go off to Bible college. He didn't need to go get his debt paid off. He didn't have to wait till his kids were grown up before he could do what God was calling him to do. God says, "What is it that you already have? What do you already have in your hand?" What Moses needed was readily available. God told him that he would use his own hand and the things that were in his reach. So ask yourself this question. What has God put into your hand to help you draw people to him? If you had that conversation, "God, how are you going to use me to bring people to you?" What would God say to you? What would God say, "What do you have in your hand? What is in your life? What is part of who you are right now that I could use?" Okay, God is trying to get you to look at your life. Now, if you notice in this passage that Moses gets a little bit concerned because he's not a great speaker and God's asking him to go speak. And so he says, "Wait a minute, you know that I'm not eloquent of speech. You know my tongue's a little slow. It takes me time to process stuff, whatever." But God reassured him that not only would he put the words in his mouth that he should speak, but he also had some people around him that would be glad to come and help him, that would be eager and willing to come and help him. He said, "Isn't your, what, brother Aaron, cousin Aaron? Brother, sorry. Read too many things this week. Isn't he can come and he'll be glad to help you to do that." God would speak to Moses. Okay, here's how it's supposed to work. God would speak to Moses. Moses would speak to Aaron. And Aaron would speak to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was supposed to speak to the people and say, "Let God's people go." But that willingness stopped at Aaron. Moses did his part. Aaron did his part. Pharaoh didn't have that willing heart. Pharaoh resisted against what should have been his part in that. He was not willing. Instead of saying yes to, basically yes to God, he was putting on the brakes. But how many know that it didn't stop God's plan from happening anyway? Didn't God's people eventually get set free anyway? You know why? Because God knows how to get things done. What was impossible for men was still possible for God. He parted the Red Sea, made sure they could get free. Okay, what was impossible for the men, God took the rest. God has a plan for you. Okay, he has you on a mission right where you're at right now and has given you some tools to do to bring people to Jesus. He wants you to be open to whatever it is. Just ask yourself, what has God given me? What do I have that I could use to reach people? I'm going to point out a few things and actually talk about certain people that are in this room today. Things that I already know that you have in your life. Okay? How about Pam Dressler? Where'd she go? There you are. In the same seat she always sits in for 10 years. Pam is a gifted artist. I don't know about you guys, we have paintings in our house that were inspired by Pam that she painted, gave us the description, and my wife or kid, whoever, went and painted along with her. And Pam, as an artist instructor, taught them how to do something, and they brought it home. We have them on our mantles. We have them in our house, up on the wall. Pam has a gift that God has given her, and guess what? We have used that gift. We've had things called Painting with Pam. Okay? We've had kids, families, ladies come from all over the community to come and to be taught and to learn, to fellowship, to be inspired, to be creative, to use something that is Pam using something that God put in her hand to be able to minister. We've done it some. I envision us doing it more. I envision adding to that and making it a bigger deal than it is. Jeff is a great musician. Guy can play multiple instruments. I don't know if you guys knew this. Jeff could sit at that drum and make me look like a child. He's that good at it. Without even practicing. He just sit down, just goes. He can play the bass. He can play the guitar. Probably ring out a little bit on a piano. I'm not sure. He is a great music director. He'll be able to help keep us on time, find out what keys we need to sing in, all that stuff. You know, what if Jeff put that into motion and helped us put on a worship conference, put on a worship concert even in our community? Okay, and while we're there, then other people come and bring food and bless some of the other people that are there and begin to pray for people while we're doing a worship concert. I think there's more we could do with that. You know, Nancy is a registered nurse. Maybe there's something we could use that with, a way to reach the community. Maybe we organize some sort of a, I don't know how that would work. I don't know all the logistics. God does. Nancy probably knows more. But what if we did a free clinic of some sort and blessed the poor kids in our community? Or some families that had questions, or maybe we opened up for a day or, you know, a certain day of the month or whatever. We help try to reach people. The kids and the hurting in our community that can't afford other stuff, whatever it is. You know, we have Jamie in the back there. Jamie has a knack for organic cooking. Okay, and for that kind of a homesteading mindset. I remember doing groups at Jamie's house, and she'd have a flour grinder on her counter. She grinds her own flour and makes her own juice and cans stuff and, you know, does all those things. I know a lot of people in our community that would love to know how to do that. How did you get started? What did, you know, so how could we use that gift and talent, that skill, that passion that she has to be able to bless the community and give glory to God? Now, Amanda's trying to run out, but Amanda's gifted in finances, right? I don't know if you guys knew this. QuickBooks certified. Okay, able to help people to do things that with their money to get back on track. You know, there might be something with a Financial Peace University or something that we could host that could help people in our community that are struggling financially. They just can't figure out how to get ahead, and we could help them to get their finances in order, get their debt paid off. You know, I think that's something that can definitely be used by God. Rodney tried to run out. Rodney's a mechanic, right? Some of you know Josiah and Brittany. They usually sit right back there. Brittany's a missionary. Spent many years overseas. You know, I know some of you have, you know, taught Sunday school before. Okay, or you've led small groups, or you're good with your hands. You can build stuff. You can fix stuff. Some people are good at connecting with government officials. Some people are great with kids. Some people are more organized than other people. Be great at the administrative end of things, helping with that administration or the marketing or the fundraising or whatever else that it takes. Yeah, it's not too hard to get open with a pocket knife if anybody has one. Amen. You know, one immediate need that we have in the body of Christ right now, even in this church, one immediate need that we have is a guest services person to complement what Pam does. Hey, Pam is a great greeter. She'll get the door open for you. Okay. but and maybe Pam will do some more of this, but I know that other people, there's somebody that's your knack. You could do this, what I'm talking about. Somebody that is willing to not just greet, but seat, okay, people, and then take it the next step and actually give them a gift from the church, okay, and capture some information so that we can follow up, okay, not just once, but multiple times following up with people. Okay, and then directing the new people into what the next step in their discipleship process is. Maybe it's getting them plugged into a group or just somehow becoming part of the church family. You know, that takes, there's a special knack for doing that thing. You know, or even a hospitality coordinator. You know, somebody that's willing to work real closely with Margie and I to make sure nobody's falling through the cracks. You know, I'd like to say, I'll do it, and I do. You know, I've added to 100 other things. Margie has got more ministry things going right now in the body of Christ than anybody I know. It's a matter of having somebody that's willing to work closely with Margie and I, to work with the leadership, to help get things done. You know, as we become healthier as a body, it's going to be okay, what's going on up here. I know. Okay. I'm resorting back to my days of breaking into places, and I don't think that'd be that hard, but there's a little pocket knife you wiggle in there, but off to the side, right where the latch is. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that helps too. Yeah, a credit card kind of, you know, the old 1970s stuff. Anyway, as we become healthier as the body of Christ, there's going to be a lot of things that we can do to reach our community. There's ways that we can reach beyond. More and more what I call creative and inspired by God ideas. Okay, there was something that even this morning that, you know, was brought up, Debbie brought up, you know, I have an idea, it's kind of out of the box. And I said, I love out of the box stuff because I do. Let's get out of the box. Let's find ways to reach people that we haven't thought of. You know, I don't want to jump too much into next week, but we need to look for a need and fill it in our community. How can we help people? Where are they hurting? Why are they hurting right now? You know, talking to Pam before the service said there's like a sleepiness that's kind of come over the body of Christ. Just people in general, but the body of Christ. You feel that. You see that. What can we do as a body of Christ to help wake people up? Maybe we host a conference. Maybe we bring in a speaker. Maybe we put on a night of worship, or we do something to help inspire. You know, there's a lot of things. I haven't picked on everybody yet. I got a couple more here. Patricia is a wonderful beautician. Anybody get your hair done by Patricia before? She does a great job. Okay? Maybe there's something that can be done with that. You know, maybe we open up one Saturday a month and we cut hair for free. And while she's cutting her hair, you know, we got two or three people that are entertaining with suckers and, you know, helping the kids feel comfortable, making mom feel comfortable. We meet a need in the community. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm just throwing out ideas. You know, maybe I knew of a church and we did this once where we actually changed people's oil in their car. See you guys. I know you had to leave. We change people's oil in their car out in the parking lot for free. They just pull in and tell us what kind of car they got, or we look at it and say, okay, I'll be right back. Run to the store, get a filter, and then 30 minutes or less, they get their oil changed for free. You know, if it's a way to reach out. I don't want to do things just to reach out for the sake of reaching out, but if it's a way to meet a need, if there's people that they're going to blow the motor up in their car because they can't afford to go get their oil changed, they'd probably be pretty thankful to have somebody change the oil for free, right? I would. You know, maybe there's a team of people we could take over to somebody's house. We could rake their leaves, you know, chip the ice off their sidewalk. Or, you know, maybe they got a bunch of junk they need hauled away. They don't have a truck. How many people have trucks? You know, we could do stuff like that. Find ways to be able to get healthy as a church, to be growing as a church, to be, like I said, healthy, growing, duplicating, and reaching our community. Okay, how do we get to that point? You know, there's somebody in your life that needs to know what you have to offer. They need that service that you can offer. There's people that you can reach with the gospel that somebody else might not be able to reach as easily. You know, I haven't even talked about the schools and the kids, but I got a text, I think it was yesterday or Friday afternoon, from someone that I met at the conference, and they have an organization that they work for, and they go into schools to teach biblical lessons during school hours in the school, and they have all the logistics worked out. They will get you in the door. They'll give you the materials. All we need is people to run that, and we could have that in our public school. You know, there's a ton of things out there. That was, you know, at this the conference I went to was funded by numerous sponsors. The hallways were just lined with them. And so you got to talk to all these different peoples about ways to reach out or things that would help you with ministry. There was all kinds of things involved. And that happened to be, I don't remember talking to the guy exactly, but I remember talking to somebody about schools and education. And next thing I know, he's texting me saying, "Hey, I forgot to tell you about this organization I'm a part of." There was a pastor named Curtis Thomas that wrote a great book called Life in the Body of Christ. In that book, he made a powerful statement. I want to close with this morning. He says, nowhere in Scripture do we have the slightest hint that God's people are to volunteer. Rather, the Scriptures indicate that the use of our gifts should be considered a joyful responsibility. It's about allowing God to take what you've got in your hand and apply that some way in your life to lead people to Jesus. Using what you've got, being willing, even if it stretches you. You know, the CEO of IBM that grew this massive computer organization, Ginni Rometty, she once said that growth and comfort don't coexist. Okay, and that applies to businesses, but it also applies to churches. We got to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. It really applies to individuals because we have to get out of our comfort zone. Growth and comfort don't coexist. You know, if you follow God's lead, He is going to take you out of your comfort zone. It's probably one of the first things you'll have to do. Get you out of your rut. But it's going to be all right. God is going to help you. I'm going to help you. Margie's going to help you. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, the people around you, are going to help you. And together we can get through that and begin to reach more people, conquer some darkness, thrive in the community, become that light, that beacon, okay? Or in this case, that oasis, okay, in the desert. Where it's a dry and thirsty land, people are looking for some place to get refreshed. Let them come here. We can bring the kingdom of God to the people around us. Amen. Amen. Next week, I want to show you some more things about how we can do just that, how we can be that oasis that is drawn, that people are drawn to. We've got to change our mindset a little bit about what church is all about. This is a building, but we want to be the church out there as well. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus this morning. We're coming before you, Lord. I thank you that you're doing a work in our lives, Lord. You're working in our hearts. You're speaking to people this morning. Father, you're stirring those creative ideas. You're winding people up just a little bit, Lord. Get them prompted and going in this direction, Lord. I pray you help us come out of our comfort zones to think outside the box, to let ourselves go free into what you are calling us to do. That, Lord, that if we have our doubts and our worries, that we can still bring those to you, Lord, and you'll help us to see you've got this person in our life, you've got this in our hand, that you've got these things already in place that we can accomplish what you're asking us to do. God, I thank you for building us up in faith, that we can stand strong in you and just keep our eyes focused on where it needs to be, Lord, and begin to think outside of ourselves, to reach out to the people around us. Lord, we're trusting you this morning. I pray, have your way in our lives, in this church, in this community. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen.